celebrating that with us. If you go, if y'all would you get the lights back there? And I'm going to ask the World Changers to come up. Do not delay. And thank you all. And, we are going to just, we just want to thank you, thank the church again for supporting us as you always have. And it was a lot of fun for us to relive that and watch the video this morning. But it was such a mission effort. 26 of us total came from our church. Come on in, fill the gaps. Here we go. Don't be shy. And we had 350 total folks at the site in Chicago. And once again, these sites are going on all over the country all summer, and they're even happening in other parts of the world. And so it's just something to really pray about, quite a hands-on mission effort, where we use the medium of helping others, being actual doing physical labor, social ministry, to be able to proclaim the gospel, not only to the homeowners, but these guys, in addition to doing all the work on the homes that they pay to go and do. They also go out in teams, and we go through the neighborhoods, and we go door to door. And we go in teams because a lot of these neighborhoods are dangerous. We were in some highly volatile areas every year, but this year especially. And we even did some witnessing in downtown Chicago on Wednesday night. We had some free time, went to Michigan Avenue, and spent some time having a good time seeing the sights, but also sharing the love of Christ there with some folks. So one or two of these young people have volunteered to say a word of something that the Lord put on their heart or something they experienced this week. So we'll let them do that. Carly, are you first? Okay.
This is my first or my fourth year at World Changers, and this year was very different because we actually went to work on Monday morning, and none of the crews had supplies to work with because I don't know exactly what happened, but the mayor decided that he didn't want to sign the papers to fund the money. So we had already met with our homeowner, and, you know, it was going to be hard to go back the next day and tell them that we weren't going to get to work on his house anymore. So Monday night, they told us that they only had $15,000 and only the roofing crews, well, their jobs came first because they had already had the roofs stripped off their houses. So our crew didn't not get the money because all we were doing was painting a garage. So our crew prayed about it with each other, and we talked to our crew chief, and so we decided to all chip in and pay for the paint. So, you know, none of us cared to do that, so we actually got to spend more time with our homeowner. And then a few days later, our homeowner actually accepted Christ, so, you know, I was very glad that we didn't leave the site and that we stayed with him, because if not, I don't know if that would have happened. So that was the best part of my week. So.
Oh, okay. I'm Dylan Baker, and this is my second year at World Changers. And just like Carly said, the first day, we were on a roofing crew, and we tore half the roof off the house before they told us anything about no supplies. So whenever we did get supplies, we were happy because, I mean, we thought, man, the supplies aren't going to come. This lady's going to have to go without a roof on her house. But, I mean, whenever I did put that roof on, whenever me and my crew put the roof on the house, I was glad because I really felt I did something for this lady. Because this lady, her whole back wall was completely molded and rotten. And so whenever we put that roof and put an overhang on our house, I felt like we really did something for her life. And just, I mean, also 6 people got saved during World Changers, or more, I'm not sure. but 6 the first day, and they didn't really tell us if any more really got saved. And, I mean, the good thing about World Changers is that you really do change lives. So
my name is Sierra Foster. Most of you out there know me. Just face. this is my second year going to World Changers, and I just want to say that it's been a great experience going out and talking to these people who have no clue who Jesus Christ is. And my homeowner, her name was Miss Durham, and she was a sweet little old lady. And we decided to build a rock garden for her. And, you know, even that just little bitty thing changed her whole perspective, because we built it and she came out there and she just started crying. And, you know, you can't help to cry with her. So, like, one little thing can make a big difference in a person's life.
I'm Gary Bozeman. All right, so this was my first world changers, so I had no idea what was going to go on. And then, like they said, Monday, we got there, and we had, like, no fundings. And I was like, what a world changers, right? I mean, you don't get to do anything. So, you know, God works in mysterious ways. We got everything done. I think all the crews worked together. Some crews came together and worked on, you know, one house together to get it done. Everything was great. Like Dan said, we walked Michigan Avenue. We talked to some people there, you know, gave them little pamphlets, spread the word a little. So the whole trip really was good. I think we all came together. Everybody came together, so it was a good world changers.
And we were able to put some gospel tracks and some things on. We always find there's a mosque. For some reason, there's always a mosque on my bus route somewhere. And so I stop and knock on the door, never get an answer, but I leave a For Your Joy book or 10 Reasons Jesus Came to Die. I leave it on that mosque door, and I just pray for the first Muslim through the door that gets the good news of Christ there. So even there, we just look for places everywhere. Everywhere is a mission field. And I'm just so thankful for this church and your support and prayers, and thank you so much. We really did. We had a lot of questions, a lot of confusion going into this week. It seemed like everything was working against us at first in some ways. And the Lord, as usual, He just provided. And a lot of that was through extra labor. We had to double our efforts toward the end of the week because we were behind schedule by the time things started to come through. And so God did all that. And we wanted to leave a good witness, not only in our work ethic, in our verbal the sharing of the gospel, but we wanted to leave a good witness with a finished product of what we came there to accomplish. And we felt like if that was left undone, it would be a scar on our witness. So these guys even reached into their own pockets and pitched in to help buy materials and things to get the work done. So that's a missionary. You're adjusting to circumstances on the ground, trusting God for the whole thing. And so I'm so thankful. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time of our worship to celebrate what you've done in a cooperative mission effort from this church and Baptist churches all over the world, literally, to do world changers. We're so thankful to be a part of it again. Thank you for our church giving us time to share this and celebrate this together in honor of you and in praise to you, God. Thank you for these teenagers that are such a blessing, Lord, that we really have incredible young adults here. I love them, and I thank you for what they mean to us. And we praise you and thank you for all you'll do. We pray for every seed of the gospel sown throughout Chicagoland this week and around the world in World Changers. We pray that it'll grow to the glory of your name and the salvation of people into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, God, for all you've done. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Wow, praise band.
Woo.
Wow. It's just almost a terrible thing to do to a pastor before he gets up to speak, because I'm just so filled with this stuff. The kids getting up here and what a blessing that is, and Kat's family, and wow, so much to be filled with, and I'm very grateful. A few moments we have this morning, as I was just thinking and watching you and listening to you as a church, thinking about just how much this is church, Everything we've heard, everything we've seen today has been church. There's been worship. The music was exceptionally good. I don't know why. Maybe Rufus is back. Maybe that's what it was. The singing was great. The volume. You know, volume is pretty important. When you have a church this size and there's only a third of the people singing with any kind of volume, there isn't enough volume in my ears to really lift the praise. And I know the praise is there, but when there's volume, it's just, I know that you're singing and I know that you're worshiping. I know that you're making a joyful noise. Some of you, it is a little bit more than a noise, but that's about all. But it's a praise. There's volume. Whenever we sense that, whenever we have that, it's evidence of something. It's not always the evidence of the Spirit of God. We can be loud at a football game, right? But when there's volume in the house of God and hearts are being melted by the words of the song, Mighty to Save. And David, I love what you read. That's so powerful. I'm still thinking and ruminating on those words. God has the right, the power, the authority to declare, my sins are forgiven. How incredible is that? All of it. It's just been a great worship service so far. I just want to close today with a verse that is going to go on Steve's new gun. And you know, I think that's pretty incredible. I want to be a Boy Scout. How do I sign up? Is it too late? Seemed like there was a movie one time about that, the old Boy Scout or something, but that's pretty cool. Coming to a church and serving Steve Katz's family the way you have, been very faithful, very consistent. And this is not all just about you today. This is about being faithful. Wherever you are, being faithful. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. This is a very familiar verse. It says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. We wrote that as a gesture to the Katz family as they leave us to go to, I forget what state, is it Missouri? I forget where you're going. He's going somewhere out of Kentucky. It's an M. I think I had it inverted. I think it's maybe a W or something. But we wrote that with deep feeling, deep emotion. We will have wonderful memories of you. And I hope that you will have for us. I know some of our elder meetings have not been the best. Most of them are good. Some of them haven't been the best. But we've worked through them. And we've got, I think, from both sides, a very good remembrance of Steve's labor with us as elders. Bonnie's participation in the praise band. We need a bass player. Anybody? Anybody? Going once, going twice. I don't know how we're going to fill the gap that this family is going to leave us, but I know God has promised to build His church, and it just means that some of you are going to have to start evangelizing. Socialize to evangelize. You need to start, continue witnessing, sharing Christ, bringing others into the fold, the kingdom of God, so the work can be done. But I want to take you to the context of this verse, because as I said, it's not really about our church or about Steve and Bonnie and the kids, per se. This was Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi. In order for us to understand what he means by this verse, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, it would help us to just skim this point in Paul's life, these events that took him over to Macedonia and that introduced him to this place called Philippi. It was a real place, a real church. Matter of fact, you probably remember that Paul was very hard-headed, like some of you. Paul had his own ideas about things and he had his chart directed and he was going north for the glory of God. He was going north and the Spirit of God stopped him in his tracks and he said, I want you to go north. I'll bet Paul really wrestled with that. But finally, Paul did in a dream. have a vision come to him and a man saying, come over and help us. We call that the Macedonian call. That area, Macedonia, Philippi, that whole region of land there, Paul knew that God wanted him over there. He didn't know why, but it didn't take him long. When he got to Philippi in Acts chapter 16, you may remember this. It was the Sabbath and he was looking for a place to worship. He goes down to the river and he doesn't find a synagogue. You know, you can have 11 men and you can assemble a synagogue. He looked for such a synagogue, didn't find it in Philippi. But what he did find is some women down by the water praying. They were worshipers. They weren't yet true worshipers, for they had not really been introduced to Jesus. And Paul met this one woman. Her name was Lydia. And the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 16 that Paul, in his conversation with these women, the Lord opened her heart. It says it very specifically. God had a purpose for Paul going over to Philippi. It wasn't just Lydia, but the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 16, Lydia and her whole family came to Christ that very day and were baptized. Now, some of you are burdened right now for your family members. Wouldn't it be wonderful for you to be able to see your whole family come to Christ in one day, in one movement? This is what happened. When Paul says here in Philippi, I thank my God for my remembrance of you. Surely he was thinking about Lydia and her family members and what joy and what blessing it was for God to open the hearts of these people to believe. And then we also learned that Lydia persuaded Paul to come to her home and let her show him hospitality. Now think about it. And I love the way Luke writes that, where he says, Paul says, and she persuaded us. You know, I've been on a few cruises and cruise food is good. But back in those days, the ships, they didn't really have a chef. And when you got on a ship, it was you better have you a granola bar or something. You're not going to get food on the ship unless you bring it yourself. Imagine Paul coming across the waters and he's there in Philippi and a woman that is overflowing with joy wants to help and says, come into my home and I'll feed you. Well, Paul didn't have to be asked the second time. I'm sure he was thinking about that as he wrote this verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Maybe he was thinking about what happened later. After this demon-possessed girl who was making her merchants a lot of money by selling these figurines, she became a Christian. She was no longer giving hand readings and telling the future and all the other things that they did. She came to Christ. As a result, Paul was thrown in the Philippian jail. Do you remember that? Remember how that in the midst of that jail at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing. They were singing from their heart, praises to God. In spite of the fact that they were incarcerated, in spite of the fact that maybe he's questioning God. God, you told me to come. And did I forget to tell you that they were beaten also? So there they are in the Philippian jail and they sing praises to God. And the Spirit of God opens the doors. Opens the bars, all the doors, they're unlocked, they're open. The Philippian jailer thinks, well, I might as well take my life because it's a life for a life here. And the Romans will never tolerate a jailer who loses his prisoners. So he's planning on taking his life and Paul stops him and he says, wait, hold on. Everybody's here. We're not going anywhere. Do yourself no harm. And the man asked Paul the question, what must I do to be saved? He recognized that God was at work He recognized the miraculous nature of what had just happened. And the Scripture tells us in Acts 16 that he was saved. And he, his whole family were baptized. We're assuming midnight, early morning hours. Maybe Paul is thinking about that as he writes these words. I thank my God and all my remembrance of you. But I think there's something else that he's thinking about. And it's the last part. He mentions it in the last part of the book of Philippians. In verse 15 of chapter 4, here's what he says to them. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. This Philippian church is much like you. And I say this not to flatter you, but to tell you what I've seen over the years, the many years that I've been here. You're a very, very generous church. We can have a couple of missionaries walk into this church like we did a couple of weeks ago on a very low attended Sunday. And we know it's vacation time. Enjoy your vacations and enjoy your families. You might miss a blessing by missing here. That's all I'm going to say. But you had the privilege of just putting the hat together and raising some money for this missionary couple going back to Thailand. Over $1,000. And as I told you, the manila envelope was full of bills and dollars and $5 and $10 and $20. There weren't any huge gifts. We love those. But it was a participation by everybody. Your generosity to help. You world changers. I love, Carly, what you said about you guys putting your monies together and doing whatever was necessary to keep the work going. That's a blessing that you received, that you will receive, and it is a blessing that she received. And I guarantee you, when this woman is thinking about world changers, just like Paul, she's going to have a fond remembering of your visit. I think that everything that we've done today is an example of what Paul is thankful for. The generosity of participating in ministry. The joys of having people serve with you. Paul talked about this repeatedly, about different ones in his life that were very influential, that helped him, that served with him. Yes, they moved on. He moved on. And Kat's family, you're going to move on to a church and you're going to get your place. You're going to get a place where you'll serve. That's just the way you all are. I know you will. And that's my prayer for all of us, that wherever we are, that we're doing something that other people will remember us for. And I want you to just ask yourself this morning, what will people remember about you? You know, we've had over the years some departures from our church that have been bittersweet. We live in that world. We all do. We know we can't always all agree. And sometimes it means that a family will leave and maybe go to another church. Or that happens. And that just happens. That's life. That's church life. We don't like it, but it does happen. But my prayer is that should that happen to anyone in this service today, and if that's you're contemplating that, or maybe if you're visiting here from another church and you're thinking about making an exodus there and coming here. That wasn't really fair, was it? That your church, our church, would have a fond memory of your service, of your time, of your labor. When Paul is talking about this, that's what he's remembering. He's remembering the times that weren't so good, and he's remembering the times that were. And it took a whole lots of people to show the whole picture. So this morning, I just want to celebrate with you. I want to celebrate the fact that World Changers are home. You've served the Lord. You've seen what it's like. This wasn't your first time to experience giving and working and laboring for someone. But it's an example of all of us. And they will have fond memories of you there. For the Katz family, our prayer is that they, when they get to their place and God gets them in a church and they get busy, that the work of God will continue there. They will certainly leave here with great memories. We hope that we will be a sweet memory to you every time you put a shotgun shell in that gun and have some fun. And I hope that little plaque is put on there strong enough so that when you shoot that thing, it doesn't fly off. We'll make you another one if it does. But just coming back to this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I hope that as we take inventory in these closing moments of what our participation is here, that it can be said that when you leave, for whatever reason, that there will be wonderful memories. And if God moves you to another place and to serve in some other capacity, if God moves us to another place to serve, if God moves Dan or David or any of the rest of the staff here, that we could all be able to say, you know, wow, it really has been good. And it is a sweet remembrance. That's my mission and my goal. And I hope that it is yours as well. I want us to bow our heads and I just want to lead us in a prayer this morning. And for those of you here with us and you're here visiting from some other place, I pray that you will think about this verse and think about yourself and how that you are in your church. If when you're missing from their church, that you're missed and that your service is something that is noted. That every single person needs to have something that they can do for the kingdom of God. And I pray that maybe, as a result of the example of these world changers, many of us will get up off of our seats and get busy to do what we need to do for the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you so much today for this church. I thank you for the history that we have. I thank you, Lord, for the Katz family. I thank you for the way that you have allowed them to grow and to learn. And I thank you for Steve's education and Bonnie's education in the medical field. You will continue to use them and bless them with that acquired knowledge, and that you'll help them, Lord. And for their children, as they've been serving, that they will find that place of service. And Lord, I pray for these other world changers, that as a result of their service abroad, that they will come and serve here. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for our body. I thank you for each and every one. And if this were the last service for me, I can truly say I will have fond memories of this service. And I thank you for that. That is a blessing. And I pray that that will be in every heart, that every one of us will just be so in love with our church, so in love with the place where we've been given to serve, that, Lord, we will just do our part and more. I thank you, and I praise you for this worship today, and we pray this in Jesus' name.